Well, it's an honor and a privilege to be here this morning. I love your pastor and his wife, Ms. Steph. They are dear to our hearts. They came and stayed with us a while in Texas. And one thing I've learned about your pastor, he's a doer. And he did several projects around my house. When I got home, they were all completed. I really appreciate him doing that. So I've asked him to come back and spend a little more time with us. I'll have a to-do list, you know, on a whiteboard in his room, and he can just scratch those off as the days go by. But we enjoyed them coming. I'm looking forward to them coming again. I appreciate the opportunity to preach this morning. I trust I can be a blessing and a challenge to you today in Faith Promise. The Lord has given me something, and maybe I can approach Faith Promise a little differently this morning. But I want to encourage you, as the group was singing a little bit earlier, that the things that we have in this life, they're going to leave. We will all leave it behind. And the things that are dear to us and the things that we cherish and we really take care of, we put in a special place in our homes, one of these days our kids are going to sell it in a garage sale for 50 cents. And someone will come by and offer a quarter, they'll take it. Just so they won't have to store it. So I want to encourage you. Be involved in Faith Promise missions, amen? And be givers and invest those things in your life in something that's going to outlast it. And that's in the lives of people. Exodus chapter 12, if you'll turn with me there. And again, I appreciate being here. I'm going to ask your pastor if he'll cut down the pulpit just a little bit. You know, so I can see over this, you know. If you have a hard time seeing me, I'll move around a little bit this morning. I used to be 6 foot tall, you know. I played golf with Brother Randy this week. I found out he's my long-lost twin. Now, and took some pictures, and I'm going to share those with our folks. In Exodus chapter 12, found your place, amen. If you're able, if you'd please stand with me, and as we begin reading in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts of the upper door, post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And he shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Please look at verse 29. "And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne until the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Father, I pray, God, that you'd help me this morning, and Lord, to be a blessing and encouragement, also a challenge to the folks that are here today. I pray, God, that you would, Lord, speak through me. Lord, it'll not be me that speaks, but Lord, you. And pray, Lord, you'd help me to say those things that you want me to say. And God, I pray, Lord, today that there's someone that's lost, they'll come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So, Lord, watch over us today. Bless the reading of your word, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you. Here in Exodus chapter 12, God's speaking to the Israelites through Moses and Aaron, and he's giving them some instructions on how to prepare the Passover lamb. The Passover deals with God's judgment upon unbelievers of this world and on evil oppressors, the ungodly, the unrighteous of the world. And the Passover deals with the deliverance of God and the deliverance of all who believe in him and follow him. And the importance of the Passover can never be, I don't think, overstressed, because without question, it's probably the most significant day in Israel's history. And if we try to think in our minds the magnitude of what God is doing on this Passover, God is revealing a plan to you and I and to his people. God had a plan to save and deliver his people, and not just one or two, but a plan to deliver all of them. And folks, God still has a plan today to deliver lost people, and that's with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That plan has never changed. It's always been the same, but God has chosen to use you in the local church to deliver that plan to a lost people. God had a plan to judge the evil and brutal Egyptians while protecting his people. God also had a plan to show every future believer the importance of the blood of the Passover lamb. God used the Passover to change the very calendar of Israel. And the Passover was an event that was different from all other events in Israel's history. It marked the very night that God delivered his people. And for centuries, the Israelites had been enslaved and brutalized by the Egyptians, but now they're about to be set free. And I'm thankful today that God still sets us free. I'm thankful today that there's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's a world out there today that does not know that they have an opportunity to be set free. And it's our responsibility, I believe, as God's people and as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver that message in order to set people free. When me and my wife were married, I still remember her saying this, that I talked about this at the golf retreat, that we have the opportunity to grow up in a Christian home. I had that opportunity, my wife had that opportunity, but not everyone has had the opportunity to grow up in a godly Christian home. There's still a lot of people out there today that don't know that there's a life beyond that, the life they have without the Lord Jesus Christ, all over the world. And folks, it's up to you and I today to try to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I haven't been called to go. Maybe you have not been called to go, but we've all been called to try to help someone reach the lost through a missionary with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God, we've seen here, has a plan that he can help us. God has given a very definite set of instructions here for the Jews to follow concerning the Passover. And after God spoke to Moses, and Moses called the elders and together and spelled out to them God's instructions, the elders then, they were to take these instructions of God to the people that they represented. And they were to select a sacrifice, a Passover lamb, and then a branch of hyssop was to be taken, and it was to be used and dipped in blood, and then to put over the door lintels, over the side posts and the door lintels of their home. And then when that was done, that night there was not to be one person to walk outside of that home, and they were to stay inside under the protection of the blood of the lamb. Listen, there's a lot of people today that are outside the protection of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am one that I am thankful today for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that protects me from the condemnation that comes through sin. I am thankful today that I am protected from the condemnation that Satan accuses me of before my Heavenly Father. And so here we see that the Jews were to stay inside this home that they might be protected from the judgment of Almighty God. Listen, I can see them. I use my mind, and I kind of have an imagination, and I can see the folks, they're going through all of the preparation and The blood has been smeared on the door lintels of the home. And I really, personally, I wouldn't wait till 11:58 in order to go take care of the blood that was all supposed to be over the lintel. I would have done that as soon as Moses gave the instructions. Hey, the judgment of God is coming. You're supposed to put the blood over the door lintels and the door frames of your house. I'm going to the house and I'm going to set things in order and I'm going to get the job done. I'm not going to wait till 11:58 to get the job done and hope I've done everything right. I'm kind of picky about things, and I'll go through and I'll make sure they're done right. I'll get up later. I'll go back just to make sure. I walk through our building, and I make sure everything is prepared for Sunday morning. We've got people that vacuum the carpet, and we've got the kind of carpet that if you vacuum it just right, there's lines in it. Anybody like, do you know what I'm talking about? When I walk through and I see the lines that have already been prepared, I say, listen, nobody goes in. If you go in the auditorium, go around the edges. Don't be messing up the aisles. People have already got it ready. Listen, I'm here to let you know today that when God, through Moses, told his people to put the blood of the lamb over the door lintels of the home, I don't think they waited. I think they went and got it done. I think they made sure that everything was done properly. And then I look and I think of the family. I think I can see them there. They're seated at the table. They're waiting for midnight. And listen, at this point, the plagues didn't make much impact on the people. The hailstones had beat down their harvest. The frogs came out of the water and they covered the land. There's a man that wrote a song years ago. It's called One More Night with the Frogs by Johnny Flanagan. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm not a big frog guy. And if I had the choice between spending another night with the frogs or having that taken care of, listen, I'm going to do what I need to do to get rid of the frogs. But evidently, Pharaoh, he thought, you know, I'll take one more night with the frogs. I'm not going to do that. It didn't work. So they sent another plague, the disease that afflicted both the cattle and the people. The water was turned to blood. The locusts destroyed their harvest. Darkness came that was so thick you could feel it. Listen, these plagues had come and did not do what God intended for it to do. But now the tenth and final plague is about to come, and it's God's judgment upon the people. Now, you picture this in your mind. It's getting close to midnight. Everything has been prepared. The blood has been placed over the doors, and the family is seated inside. All of the Egyptians have gone home. Everything is calm. And the families are thinking about the judgment of God. And if I have children, and I see one of them headed toward the front door, you know what I'm saying? Get away from that door. Don't you be going over that. Listen, I don't know. I do not want them to even get close to the place where they are outside the protection of the blood of Almighty God. Listen, I want to make sure that they are in. I am thankful today that I can say that my children and almost all of my grandkids are saved and born again. And the ones that are still little, I am teaching them about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's midnight. It's approaching. There's not a word that's spoken. And then we see in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 29, it says, and it came to pass. Listen, the things that God has put in place, one of these days, is going to come to pass. If God has said it, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. And I'm looking forward today that the Bible teaches us that one day the eastern sky will part and the Lord Jesus Christ, He Himself is going to return and come back after us. Listen, there's a lot of people today that do not know that the Lord Jesus Christ is on His way. Listen, I like to think that the Lord, the Bible says, when He went back to heaven, that He sat down. And He's been seated there, and He will stay seated there until He comes back. Now, I kind of think that the angels watch Him. And I think that they look and watch, and He may move or shift, and then they think, is this it? Is He on His way? Is He getting up? Well, listen, He hadn't got up yet, and the reason I know that, I'm still here. You're still here if you're saved. But one day, He's going to get up, and there's a lot of people that's not ready. There's a lot of people that has not heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember my dad talking to a man in the big city of Kermit, Texas. They're driving down a highway, and he's an oil-filled guy, and they see signs alongside the road, and they say, "Jesus saves." They drive a little further. They see another sign that says, "Jesus saves." And the man looks at my dad after he sees about the third sign, and he goes, "Man, this Jesus guy, he's pretty thrifty." There's a lot of people that's never heard one time the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he's not thrifty. He's the Savior. And people need to know that. They need to know that he's saved. Well, listen, the only way today they're going to hear is if you get involved in Faith Promise missions and give so that other people can go. Well, here's the Israelites. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. If you'll look there with me, it says, "And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt." At midnight, I believe that you could begin to hear a wave of sorrow as the cries of both human and beast began to spread. Pharaoh perhaps goes to check on his son and finds that he's cold in death. Death is everywhere. It's in the fields, it's in the dungeons, it's in the palace. The death angel has come and he's claimed the firstborn of those who had not followed the instructions of God. Nobody could help the Egyptians. No one could comfort them. No one could deliver them from the hand of God's judgment. It was too late. But in the houses of Israel, where according to God's command, the blood of the slain lamb had been sprinkled on the doorpost of the lintels, there's no death. And I thank God that the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." The angel of God had passed over those houses. But notice in verse 31 the actions of Pharaoh. It says, "And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Rise up.'" I don't think he was calm about it. I think he was yelling. I think he was excited. I think he was angry. And he tells them to rise up. And he tells them to get you forth from among my people. Listen, you know what he's saying? He's telling them, get out. Listen, the death angel had come and claimed the firstborn, but if they had just listened, if they had just done what God had told them to do, listen, there's a lot of people today that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have heard the name of Jesus. They know that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that sets them free, but if they do not accept the blood of Christ, listen, the death angel will come one day, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and their opportunity will be over. But today, the Bible says that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I, for one, am thankful that God is long-suffering. You know, every parent, every dad, every mom is long-suffering. And the reason I know that is I have three girls and one son, and I can remember when they were growing up in my home, there were times I'd say, "Listen, if you do that again, you're going to get a spanking." Sometimes I think I ought to go ahead and say, "If you'll do that 25 more times, you're going to get in trouble." You know why we do that? We're long-suffering. I'm thankful that we serve a God who is long-suffering today. I'm thankful that he gives us every opportunity to do what he has called us to do. He gave the Israelites an opportunity to do the right thing. And listen, and those that put the blood of the Lamb on their doorpost, they were safe, protected from God. It lets me know three things real quick. I want to give this to you. God, it tells me about God's unquestionable reckoning. Listen, God keeps a record. I've had people tell me, "Listen, God's not a bookkeeper." Oh, yes, he is. Because the Bible says one day that the book shall be opened and that we will be judged out of those things that are written in those books. Listen, God is he's a bookkeeper. And we will be judged out of those things that are written in those books about us. Listen, in thousands of homes, we read about this. In Israel, there were cries of sorrow and heartbreak when those babies were carried away. Remember when Pharaoh, the angry king, he tried to do away with God's plan, and he had every male child thrown into the river trying to, listen, you know what was happening? Satan was trying to thwart God's plan. This ever since that Satan was kicked out of heaven, he has been trying to do away with God's plan of redemption. And I want you to understand today that he still tries to do away with God's plan through faith promise by keeping you and me, away from being involved in reaching people by giving to faith promise missions. Can I encourage you today? Be involved in faith promise missions. Give. Listen, you cannot outgive God. If you give it to him, he'll give it back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I did a little illustration in our church, and I said, God says, for whatsoever measure you sow, that or whatsoever you meet, you'll reap. Oh, from my mind said, I can't remember that verse. If you give it in a thimble, you're going to get it back in a thimble. But he's going to press it down, shake together, and run it over in a thimble. But if you give in a five-gallon wash tub, you know what God's going to use to give it back? A five-gallon wash tub. Press down, shaken together, and run it over. Listen, it's up to you and I. We're the ones that determine God's blessings. We're the ones that determine how God's going to give it back to us. I need all the blessings that I can get. And I want to be a giver in the things that God gives me the opportunity to be a giver in. Faith promise missions is one of those things. Listen, God keeps a record. And we see that God has unquestionable reckoning. And one day we'll stand and give an account. 11 times in Scripture, it tells us that God is long-suffering to us and gives us an opportunity to be involved. Let me give you something else. God also has an unshakable design. I'm thankful today that, listen, no matter what we do, we cannot change God's design. There's a lot of people trying to change God's design today in a lot of different ways. But God's design is unshakable. We cannot change it. God's plan is unshakable. This, long before the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us in Revelation 13:8 that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Listen, God had a plan long before you and I ever got here to use Lighthouse Baptist Church to reach the lost through faith promise missions. God has an unshakable plan. And we today have an opportunity to be a part of that plan. And yet we see that Satan has tried to stamp out God's plan. He has used wicked people and evil men to try to end God's plan. But God's plan is sure, it is unmovable, and it will come to pass. Just as we see here that the Bible says, and at midnight, God's plan came to pass. Folks, listen, we can either be a part of God's plan or we'll choose not to be. But it's our choice. I want you to choose today, and I encourage you to choose today, to be a part of God's plan of faith promise mission. Listen, to those who will stand against truth and righteousness, God needs people that will stand for truth and righteousness. And we have that opportunity again in faith promise mission. God's plan and God's has an unshakable design. God also has an immeasurable ransom. The one great truth we find here on this night in Egypt when God smote the firstborn of Egypt but delivered his people where the blood was applied is that Christ bore our sin on the cross and died so that you and I might live forever. Listen, if you'll tell me how you got saved, I'll tell you how long you're going to be saved for. That didn't come out right, did it? If we were saved that's what happens when you get 62. If you're born twice, you die once. If you're born once, you die twice. I'll get it out in a minute. Listen, I want to encourage you today to understand that Christ died so that you and I might be saved for eternity. Centuries have come and gone since the night that those people put that blood over the door lintels of their home. The name of the feast was taken from the fact that on the night that the death angel smote the firstborn of Egypt and passed over the houses of Israel where the blood had been sprinkled, even then, listen, we go back to that and we sing a song, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Listen, there's a lot of times I deserve God's judgment. I deserve God's judgment today. But there were times when I wasn't living right and doing the things that God wanted me to do. And I'm thankful today that God, listen, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed me from all my sin. that we read in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 17, that the disciples come to the Lord and they said, Lord, where wilt thou we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Listen, and then the Lord took his men up into an upper room. We had the opportunity a few years back to go, and we stood in that upper room. They said that the Lord perhaps stood there with his men, and we sang a verse of Amazing Grace, and I began to think of how the Lord in that upper room prepared his men to go out and reach people with the gospel, and how he used that room to institute a new feast that will be remembered until his return. And he says that in Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, this is my body which is broken for you, and this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And he said, and drink ye all of it. Listen, that's the heart of the gospel today, that Christ is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And it was what Paul meant when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Well, there's a world today that is lost without Christ that need to hear about him. They're just like that man that drove around with my dad and thought the Lord was a thrifty person. Well, listen, Jesus is more than just a thrifty person today. He is the Savior of mankind. He is the one that died on the cross and bore our sin for us. And listen, God help us to try to reach people that and help them to at least hear about the Lord one time, since we have heard it many times. Every Sunday morning we get to come and hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I enjoyed the choir as they sang and the special music. I thought, man, this is awesome. You get to hear that every week. But there's some folks that have never heard it once. God help us to try to send someone so that they can tell everyone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, what an opportunity we have. Listen, the Bible says and tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. I think of the Lord Jesus when he was going to the cross and how they had stripped him, how they had beat him about the head with a reed. And now, the Bible says that his visage was so marred that they could not tell who he was. Listen, he did that for us. He did that for you and for me. I think of how that the Bible says that they plucked a beard from his face, and he did that for you and for me. But not just for you and me only, but he's done that for all mankind, for everyone. But some people do not know that someone did that for them. They also, the Bible tells us, that they spit in his face. Have you ever had somebody spit on you? Man, I have. I remember one time some kids came and visited the church. They came on the bus, and they didn't grow up in a Christian home. And they were playing in the bus, and we couldn't find them. We went out and saw them on the bus during church, and was trying to get them in. And I found the little boy. He was laying under the pew or under the bench on the bus, and I said, hey, you need to get up and you need to come. And he wouldn't do that. So I kind of helped him up a little bit. And as soon as I got him up, man, he took and he spit right in my face. And I'm thinking, oh, my word. And then, I lost myself for just a second. And I had him bent over my knee. And I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. He's not yours. But, man, I was hot. Yep. Well, they spit in the Lord's face. Yeah. And you know what he did? He loved them. You know what he did? He still went toward the cross. He allowed them to nail him to the cross. If somebody did that to my kids, I don't know that I could do that. I think I would be, I think in my mind, if I'm sitting on the throne and they do my child that way, I'm getting up and I'm saying, hey, that's enough. You come on, we'll take care of them in just a minute. God the Father didn't do that. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sin. Listen, do you realize that there's people that don't know that? We get to hear messages about the Lord Jesus Christ every week. We get to hear songs like this every week. It touches our heart and moves our spirit. Listen, and we sit and we just soak it all in and we're thankful for that. And we forget sometimes that there's a people that's never heard once anything like that, that are looking for someone to love them and just simply bring to them the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I want you to understand today that a lot of people need the Lord. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. People will die in their sin and go to hell. It's up to me to help them. You know, we have 12, 13 men that show up every Saturday and go out soul winning. And I've had people tell me all the time, man, preacher, that don't work anymore. Well, it worked for this guy. Amen. Yeah. Listen, people tell us that missions, faith promise and stuff, that don't work anymore. Well, it works for some. And there's still people looking for folks just like you to be involved in faith promise missions. You'll have the opportunity in a few weeks from what Brother Buddy was talking about this morning to fill out a Faith Promise Missions card. Can I encourage you today to be involved? Do something. Be involved in reaching people with the Lord, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, God needs you to help reach people. And if we don't reach them, somebody will. They'll either reach them with the truth or they'll reach them with a lie. I just soon reach them with the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when we have the opportunity, we need to fill it out and say, Lord, bless. If you'll give, God will give it back. No way you can outgive God. I've got a little saying that says, they will not seek, they must be sought. They will not come, they must be brought. They will not learn, they must be taught. But how will they learn without a preacher? Can I encourage you today, again, to be involved in Faith Promise Mission? Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today's your opportunity. God knew you was coming today. He knew that you needed Jesus. All you got to do is come and trust Him as your Savior. Father, help us, Lord. Strengthen us, God, this morning during this invitation. Lord, I liked what Pastor said this past Wednesday night, that the invitation is an opportunity to come. And Lord, if someone is here today with a friend, God, I pray that they'll come and pray for that friend. Lord, that maybe, Lord, if it's your will for them to come, and Lord, maybe they've got something in their life that they need to talk to you about, they'll come and take care of that. Lord, maybe there's someone here today that's lost that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you'd please impress upon their heart of that need, and they'll come and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Lord, we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.